All right, we are here. We are Galexy Sound. Welcome. Welcome to expanding your self-image. Now, most people think of self-image as ego or some kind of way of presenting themselves. And yeah, it can be that. And a lot of people think of self-image in a sense of secondary. Okay, I really want to manifest stuff. This self-image, well, that's just personal stuff. But I want to manifest, you know, more happiness, more money, more of this and that and the other. And so as a result, looking at self-image then gets put to the back, gets hidden as, yeah, it's there, but I really want to focus on manifesting. I want to focus on reality creation. I want to focus on healing this. I want to focus on doing that. But the thing is that your self-image is the key. It's the core of everything that you do. It's probably the most single pivotal piece of all the work that you do on your spiritual path, as well as manifesting what you want in the physical plane. Because of its significance and because of its importance, it deserves to have some time focused on it, and it deserves for you, if you want to have a fabulous life, to be able to really ramp up your self-image, right? So self-image is actually the key piece of your spiritual path, because your spiritual path, that is the path of returning to God, Goddess, all that is, becoming the divine yourself in expression, growing up the child of God, growing up to be God. It's a natural learning, expansion, progression. And how you perceive yourself is so important, because the key and the whole point of your spiritual path is to discover and own and claim and know, to know who you are. Man, know thyself has been the statement of power for centuries of spiritual searching and seeking and revelation. Man, know thyself. And to know yourself, you need to know your self-image. So your self-image is a key part of your spiritual path. Your self-image is so significant that if your self-image is small, shrunken in, or attached to an image of yourself that you once had, you're not going to be able to have a better life. That's just simply the way it is. The thing is that your self-image holds the resonance, holds the frequencies of you, the way you perceive yourself to be. And as such, if you perceive yourself to be divine, that self-image, the most expanded of self-images, potentially possible, is really your ticket to the beyond. It's your ticket to the higher realms. It's your ticket beyond birth and death into the more mystical, realized, self-realized realms of the divine. Now, when we talk about expanding your self-image, we want you to know there's no downside to this, only upside, all right? Because when you expand your self-image, as you grow into more and more your greater self, and your greater self is always more than the lesser self, so right now you're a lesser self to the greater self you're becoming. Your path is becoming more and more you. You, the unique you. You, the individual you. Becoming as much you as you can to be that spark, that divine, that particle, you might say, in the body of God, God is all that is. If there were a body of God, God is all that is, you would be a part of it. It's like a cell in your physical body works for you. Okay, it's part of you. It works for you. Now, you're more than a cell in the body of God. You are definitely a part of God. And every time you grow, God grows. God, God is all that is, expands, because every little piece inside, every little piece that makes up the divine is growing. And this is part of the plan. So you are a spark in that whole bunch of sparks that is the divine. You are divine. You are essentially divine. But of course, when you come to the physical plane, you forget. And that's part of the choice that you made in coming here to explore, to create from scratch, to discover truth here and there, wherever you can find it, to put everything back together and create a new reality. And this is a very, very difficult, you might say, very strong learning ground that you have chosen to become physical. It's not an easy path. You're the most intrepid adventurers to do that. And not only that, you chose to become physical in a universe that is based on and works with the whole idea of free will. It is a free will universe, which means that you have more growth potential in this universe than in other universes. Because when you find your own true will, you find the divine will. You find part of your divine self, and you can unfold it. You can express it. You can become more. So the self-image is crucial to this whole process of homegoing, crucial to this whole spiritual design, right? Your spiritual path and the guides and friends that are part of your team, your spiritual team on the other side, are totally encouraging you. They understand this is a free will universe, and so they do not wish to interfere in your growth process, but you wish to engage them. And we've already shared that in previous seminars, working on how to connect with them and how to engage with them. But we do want to tell you the benefits of expanding your self-image, as if we haven't already convinced you. First of all, if you have an expanded self-image, the more you expand, the more you will have positive, loving, harmonious relationships without all the drama, right? And that's because as you expand your self-awareness, as you expand your light, as you expand your self-image, you also move beyond the limiting and trapping energies of your negative ego. It gives you freedom beyond the ego to create something greater than what the ego and its little petty dramas would want to participate in. It gives you a chance to touch more of the divine, to touch the greater you, okay? And this gives you a tremendous amount of freedom, spiritual freedom, inner freedom, emotional freedom, right? Now, as you expand your self-image, you also come to a place of greater perspective and understanding, which gives you a greater sense of empowerment from where you can make tremendously good choices for yourself, to where you can activate and energize this free will universe you're part of. So you get that freedom, that empowerment. You get those relationships that have more love. You can give and receive love more freely without the restrictions, the limitations. And in that, you can also feel more belonging, a greater sense of safety in your world. You have a greater imagination and intuition. You have access to more happiness fun and joy. Because when you expand your self-image, you expand your frequency. Your frequency gets higher. It gets bigger. It reaches into areas that you have perhaps not touched before. Areas of greater happiness, greater potentials, greater possibilities, where you can receive more benefits, where you can receive more assistance, more support from your world. And of course, as you do this, you gain more and more remembrance of who you truly are. Now, as we say, your self-image is your perception of yourself, how you read yourself, how you see yourself. But a lot of people confuse it, your self-image, with your ego image. But you see, your ego image, and we're specifically talking about the negative ego, which is the part of you that just kind of runs amok and is petty and takes everything personally and all that kind of thing. The ego image is how you want others to see you. It's not how you see yourself. It's how you are looking to get energy from others. Okay, here, me, see me. I look how good I look. Look how loving I am. Look how valuable I am to you. The ego image is kind of like a salesperson. You know, it wants to advance your cause with others. And it wants other people to see you in a particularly fine way that you choose. But you don't want to expand your ego image, because all it does is it creates more needing other people. It creates more looking for outer validation. It creates more insecurity. It creates more lack of safety. So you want to expand your self-image, which is more the truer you. Now, some people confuse self-image with identity. Now, identity is who you are as part of a demographic that you feel you belong to or resonate with. For example, you know, if you're a woman and you're a proud supporter of women's rights, your identity, you have an identity as a woman, as maybe as a powerful woman, as an up-and-coming woman, as a, you know, as an expressive woman standing on her, in her power and so on. That may be an identity that you hold, okay? Or you may identify with people who love, you know, crystals and rocks. You may identify with someone who is an environmentalist. You may identify with those people. You may identify with your country. You may identify with your racial or cultural group. You may identify with your age. All these factors, which are actually external, are pieces of you that you resonate with, whether it's through just absorbing it unconsciously from childhood, or whether somehow or another it has a greater meaning for you to identify with that. For those of you who identify with a spiritual tradition, that identity, you know, is can be very meaningful for you. And it gives you a sense of yourself. It's not your self-image, though. You put it in your ego image. You try to put it in your self-image. And yes, in a certain sense, it's a little piece of your self-image. Your self-image is kind of like a necklace, you know, with a whole bunch of beads on it. And there's a whole bunch of identities. And they're part of you. So it's absorbed in there. But identity itself is not where you want to go. So your personality, a lot of people talk about your personality. Well, your personality is actually strategies that you use and behavioral patterns that you use that were created essentially by your ego image. in order to express some aspect of yourself. Now, it does, your personality does use unique aspects of you. It really does. It involves maybe some gifts and talents and capacities that you use that are unique to you. And it also has to do with your genetics and so on, as to kind of what you're inclined to like or dislike or so on. And so this combination of pieces that you play with, the strategies, the way you express your unique kind of lifestyle, you know, because some people, you know, get up early, some people get up late. That's part of your personality. Now, it may be determined by your physical body needs or by cultural needs, but overall, you don't want to really identify with your personality. And a lot of people do. And if you do, or if you kind of get hooked on another person because they have such a cool personality, you're basically buying into their ego image. Now, admittedly, within your personality, there are pieces that are uniquely you, that are part of your spiritual true self. So in a sense, it's unique expression of yourself is your personality. We're not saying get rid of it or anything like that, even though it is a bit illusory, but it's fun to play with, especially if you're conscious of it. If you're unconscious, your personality is also unconscious, and it will follow routine social, cultural values. It'll just follow the usual mainstream. You'll be like everybody else with a few little quirks that are your own. Okay, but play with it, you know. Now, we talk about essence, and we just wanted to put that in here because, well, nobody thinks of, well, what's your essence? But we do, all right? So your essence is the divine spark of light that you are. And the way your essence is shining through from your higher planes of being into this human form, that is, there's an essence there. There is an intention there that you come into this particular lifetime with. And so your essence expresses that intention from the divine. And so we want to say the more you can stay in touch with your essence, the less you will be snagged and controlled and limited by personality concerns or ego image. All right. So, but you know, you learned who you were from the get-go, and a lot of what you learned is just BS. It's not real. But when you're a child, when you're an infant, when you're a teenager, the external world has so much more influence, and that's just the way it's supposed to be. Your parents, your families, and your tradition is supposed to give you some, you know, working tools to function with. But when you grow up, you need to choose your own tools. Some may be the same, but generally some may not. Okay, so, but what happens is that when you're a child, you feel powerless. And in that powerlessness, these big, big giant beings who seem to control your life, they can give you love, and hopefully you get enough of it, but they also can judge you. They also can disappoint you. They can also hurt you. They can criticize you. And so when you're a child, you don't know how to take this. You basically assume, because all you know is you and your little world, you don't know how adults interact with each other at all. So all you think is that if they're judging you, there's something wrong with you. So essentially, you pick up this whole sense of shame, and everybody gets it. No matter how loving your parents are, part of the program of being human is that you have to learn how to deal with everything, all the emotions. And so by around the age of 7, you've experienced all the whole full range of emotions. And at that point, you don't really feel that you still don't feel that you have power. You're gaining in some power, but the judgments make you think maybe I'm not okay. Maybe I'm inadequate. Maybe because if I were adequate, if I were really right and true, then I would be loved. Then I would be powerful. Then I would be able to have fun and do just what I want to do, rather than having to dance around and tiptoe around these adults and their whims and their ways of doing things. So adolescence brings with it an even bigger burden, because on top of the child burden, you get all the peer group shaming. You get the need to fit into a peer group. You want to belong. You want to be okay. And whatever other people think about you is so, so very important. And, of course, adolescence is known to be a difficult time for most people. An emotionally, strenuous, often painful. It's very awesome in its creativity and the intensity of it, because all your hormones have been hitting. But nevertheless, there's so much wounding that happens, emotional wounding in adolescence. And then you make it into young adulthood, and you take all of this self that you have concluded yourself, and all the adjustments you've made to all the sense of whether you belong or not and whether you're okay or not or whatever. You take all of that into your young adult life and you think, okay, I made it through adolescence. Obviously, I know about life now. It is quite a trial period. It's very educational. So you enter young adulthood thinking that maybe all the woundings and all the hurts, but all the triumphs and everything, now I can be myself. Finally, I can be myself. And now I know how the world works. But you don't. Very few people are really hotly successful right off the bat in their adult life. They may be successful in one area, like a computer nerd or whatever, but you know, it's young adulthood, which is kind of the period from about 18 to 28. That time period is generally a time period of exploration, and also you don't feel so great about yourself, especially if you're entering the workforce at the bottom. You know, it's like when you're a teenager and you get an afternoon job after school. You know, it's nothing big, but you think, okay, greater things are coming. But then you get out of school and you get into young adulthood, and there's a shock that the world doesn't operate in the same way for you. And so learning to survive and to thrive is quite the challenge. And you're also trying to figure out who the heck are you, right? Now, the upshoot of all of this, and especially in adolescence, is that you conclude that there's a part of you that's really inadequate and unworthy, a part of you that's not okay. And you really don't want anybody to see that. So you feel that you must appear strong in order to survive. You must have a facade that's believable. You must be able to look nonplussed when you get criticized. You've got to look cool, collected, calm. You've got to look poised at all times. So this whole thing about your facade then becomes an effort on your part to create your ego image. And it's in adolescence that you create that. And, of course, you spend the rest of your life having it chipped away by interactions with other people and so on. However, you attempt to hide the dark parts of you. You don't want people to see the part of you that is indecisive and unhappy and needy and helpless, powerless, and shamed. You don't want people to see that. You want, and you want your friends, you don't want really want to see all that in your friends, unless you're competing with them and you want to appear better than they. That's an ego position. But the point is that when you put together your facade, you can then, you know somewhere inside yourself that this is a fake. You know somehow or another you're putting on a fake appearance. And you've got to protect it and defend it at all costs. For guys, a lot of times this is, I'm strong, I'm manly, I'm decisive, I can get things done, I'm ambitious, I will make a lot of money, I'm smart, I'm capable. So admire me, look up to me, respect me. And inside, the same guy may be feeling, oh my gosh, what if they see my insecurities? What if they see that I cannot handle intensity? I cannot handle intimacy. I cannot handle any emotions. What if they see that? They'll see that I'm weak. They'll see that I'm not who I'm saying I am. They will attack. They will destroy me. They will reject me. They will ridicule me. They will humiliate me. They will leave me. They will isolate me. They will throw me away. And then what would my life be? As an adolescent, it's like death. I'd rather die. And that's why a lot of times adolescents, if they're bullied too much, it's so painful they all commit suicide. The shame, the pain, the wounding is too much. They cannot maintain a facade. All right. Now, facades, it takes a while to build a really good facade. And adolescents are just starting to create their ego facade. So it's easy kind of to mess that up. However, as you get into young adulthood, a young adult trying to tweak that facade to make it really look successful and fabulous and everything, will think, well, I'm a fake. I really am a fake. And I don't want people to see that I'm an imposter, that I'm really not this great person that I've made this great ego facade for. Now, females often will choose an ego facade that says, I'm just so clever, and I am loving, and I'm supportive, and I'm smart, and I'm beautiful, and I'm right there with you. I just am and a great companion. I'll do all sorts of things for you. I'm just a great all-around gal. I'm fun-loving. I'm adventurous. I'm willing to go with whatever. I'm just a great person. And then, of course, that hides within themselves that they think, am I worthy? Am I valuable enough? Will other people see me as valuable enough to want to be with me? I don't know. I've got to appear valuable. I've got to appear self-confident and poised so that people think that I have a lot to give. So the facade building takes up a tremendous amount of time. It takes up a tremendous amount of energy. It's very involving. But at the same time, you want people to see this light version of yourself, and you keep hiding the dark one. Now, out of this emerges what we call your story. You have a story about yourself. It's a narrative that runs in your head, in your mind talk. And it tells you what's what. It tells you what you think and what you feel and why. It tells you why you're right and others are wrong. It'll tell you, you know, it will confirm and validate all your own opinions, even the worst ones. It will, even your judgments of yourself, it will validate that. Now, you don't generally share your story that much with other people. It's just an inner narrative that goes on in your head. And it doesn't go on, you know, as a autobiography. It's just in your day-to-day interactions, it'll just chatter in there. And basically, it will tell you what you believe, what you assume, what you're thinking, or what you have thought, and what other people did to you, and where your disadvantages are, and sometimes where your advantages are in life. But for most people, this mind talk, the story, is a bit of a defense story. It's defending yourself. It's trying to build yourself up in a way. Trying to make sense of the pain that comes from the woundings of adolescence. Trying to analyze and rationalize what's going on in your life. Trying to figure out what's what. And it also will tell you, you know, what your favorite color is, what restaurant you like the best, and why. It will just chatter all sorts of regular stuff. A lot of stuff is meaningless, and it will chew your story. This mind talk stuff will also chew on and obsess with relationships that you have, trying to figure them out, trying to analyze them, or trying to figure out what in the heck you need to do about it, or just doing a black and white. Okay, I don't think I can handle this. This is too scary. I could be revealed. I could be hurt really badly, so let me get out of here. So there's a lot of yada, 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 yada going on as you are listening to your mind talk and listening to your story, the story of your life. Now, most of you will have a story that is filled with victim and martyr, because when you're a child, you're a victim. You can't help it. You're at the mercy of others. When you're an adolescent or young adult, you get into martyrhood, where you're trying to be noble and important and so on, and where you feel like you have to give a lot of stuff to other people for them to like you. In other words, you have to earn your way. So a lot of the problem that we find with self-image is that in the context of the story and the mind talk and so on, there comes this sense that not only is a facade going to work, but you still have to earn. You have to earn love. You have to earn some freedom. You have to earn your way. You have to earn your value. Now, as a spiritual person, you probably know that if you're divine, you don't have to earn any value at all. You're essentially valuable because you're a divine being. But your ego doesn't get that. Your ego is obsesses about things like that. So the earning puts you into a state of never having enough. It's always a scarcity of love, a scarcity of money, a scarcity of this, a scarcity of that, with a threat of more scarcity in the future. And that means when you get there, you're stuck in your ego facade. You're not owning who you are. Now, your spiritual path, once you get on it, will start guiding you and leading you to loving and valuing yourself more, dealing with your emotional issues, clearing up limitations that you perceive about yourself, and starting to think better about yourself. And that's why that is so key to the spiritual path, is because as you let go of shame and pain and judgments of yourself and being hard on yourself when you make a mistake, just chewing on yourself and just kicking yourself around mentally in your mind talk, all that, once you start letting that go, then you are able to start healing the darkness. You're starting to find yourself more expanded as a being, as a person. But you do have to heal the darkness. Because if you heal the darkness, you're not afraid of it being revealed. If you heal the darkness, you're not always at the mercy of your external world, whether it likes you or not. You can be powerful and free and loving, and you can feel safe and supported by your unseen friends and your spiritual team. But you need to address the darkness and realize, number one, it is an illusion. All this is BS that you've absorbed from childhood and tried to analyze with the very limited tools that a child or an adolescent has. You didn't get a PhD in psychology. Oh, no. You have no idea how to process a lot of this stuff. And your parents didn't either. So you can get stuck in child or adolescent identities, child or adolescent image. And then you put the facade on so that you look like, you think you look like an adult. So here's what you do to heal that. To heal that dark part of you, that vulnerable, weak, sensitive part that you hope nobody sees because they would judge you for it. Stop earning. Just stop it. There's no need to earn whatsoever. You don't need to earn anybody's love, anybody's value, anybody's approval. You don't need to earn anything. Recognize that earning just is a trap that will never let you go. Stop earning. And so you think, well, what's instead of earning? I earn love. I earn my relationships. I get in a relationship and I just do all these things for my beloved. And then I don't understand why they walk away. Well, the thing is that when you earn, you put a lot of pressure on other people. You don't know that. You think you're putting all your pressure on yourself. No. You're putting your pressure on other people because you're giving to them in a manipulative way. And they know it, but they don't know it consciously. But they feel pressure to respond, and they feel that they're being manipulated to love you. So they're like, okay, this doesn't feel right. They're just doing way too much for me. There's no way I can balance this out. And they'll run away because the pressure would be then on them to step up and do as much for you, and they can't do it. Because their facade isn't that big. Yours may not be either. So stop earning. Because the alternative to earning is receiving. Giving and receiving is an endless loop of wonderful stuff. You give, you receive. You give, receive. And what you give over here, you may receive over here. Giving and receiving. But when you give, you're really giving. You're not proving. You're not proving yourself. You're not trying to earn anything. Because when you earn, there's a goal in there that the other person now has to respond in a certain way. So stop earning. Now, of course, you have to earn if you have a job. And it's basically you work so many hours or something and you get paid so much money and per hour or by salary or whatever it is, you are earning money. But money and relationships are not the same. Your relationship with money is way, way simpler than your relationship with a person. However, you've got to give up earning and start receiving and giving freely, and then receiving. Now, you often cannot receive unless you feel worthy of receiving. And we're back to self-image again. Are you worthy? Are you valuable? Okay. So one of the ways to kind of clear out this debris is to forgive yourself. So this is the second way to heal yourself, is to forgive yourself. Forgive you, forgive all the past yous, and forgive yourself now for having held on to the earning, for having held on to the ego facade, hoping that somehow or another that people would love you, admire you, support you, and look up to you. Forgive yourself for getting stuck in the pattern. It wasn't your fault. That's what you were trained to do. That's what most people are trained to do. And that's why half of marriages end in divorce. You're trained in a method that is not successful. So that half of the marriages actually make it is pretty amazing, considering. All right. So forgive yourself for falling for the illusion and for all the bad decisions you've made. You made the best decision you could at that time with knowing what you did. So forgive yourself. And then start claiming who you are. Claim your divinity. Allow yourself to see yourself as being a divine being having a physical experience. That way you get a little bit of detachment from all the craziness. Accept yourself. Just accept yourself as you are, with all what you think are your faults and all your positives, pluses, and all your minuses. Just accept yourself. Just, okay, I'm okay just the way I am. Now, this takes a bit of courage. But if you'll accept yourself, you can then start valuing yourself. You can then own that you belong here, that you are a divine being, and your presence on this planet matters. You matter. You have significance just by being here. It's part of the divine plan. And of course, also, to heal that dark part, to heal that painful place. And we will address this. We can address this in the Healing Your Past Selves workshop as well, specifically. But in alignment with that, you've got to raise your frequency. Got to expand your frequency. And so there it comes to doing the techniques of image expansion. Expand your self-image deliberately, consciously, with intention and focus. Expand it. You can do this. You don't have to wait for a gift of good self-image. It's not going to happen that way. This is a free will universe. Nobody's going to force a good self-image on you. You have to build it yourself. So expand it using one of several techniques we're going to be sharing with you today. And when you do this, you lift to a higher frequency. And when you lift to the higher frequency, you can then acknowledge you are a spiritual being on your path of destiny, a path of return to God, Goddess, all that is. And that you can acknowledge your greater frequency level, your resonance. It's a field of resonance, your field of energy, your auric field, your energy field. becomes luminous, it becomes bright, it becomes expansive, it becomes huge. Now, you don't just do it once. You do it over and over and over. Why? Because we're going to get to now how it works in the flow, in the dynamic. Now, we're talking about, so far, we've talked about being. You know, your self-image as it is, it's almost like this is the way the self-image looks and this is the way it is. This is a little box and that's your self-image. And you all live within a box of your self-image. It has dimensions and boundaries that you cannot go beyond because the way you see yourself, this box is what you allow yourself of your reality. It's not static. This box is, it's your reality is not static. Everything's moving and flowing and changing all the time. So for you to maintain this box works against your spiritual path. You want to manifest, and it's part of your destiny. It's part of your purpose here on earth is to learn how to have a great life and to manifest stuff, manifest fun, good stuff for yourself. Most manifestation courses focus on money because, like we said earlier, your relationship with money is simple. Money is a simple, kind of cut and dry, easier way to, you can learn the basics of manifestation on money. Manifestation can get more complicated when you're dealing with relationships. However, the underlying dynamic of it all has to do with self-image. So, we're going to talk about the law of attraction now. You know about that, okay? When you expand your self-image, you raise your resonance. Your field of resonance, your energy field becomes brighter and more luminous. That's higher frequency. And every time you have you get into a higher frequency, then you're able to connect with a greater level of manifestation. That's the essence of the law of attraction. What resonance you're in attracts to you things that are at that level of resonance. So if you're thinking that you are somehow, flawed, if you just are always struggling with this whole self-value thing and you don't feel worthy and so on and so on, well, you're in a free will universe. Your box is going to contain a reality that's congruent with and in alignment with that feeling of unworthiness. Therefore, you're not going to get a worthy level reality. Now, sometimes as a gift, you do. You can't hold on to it, though, unless you expand your self-image. If you get into a project, for example, let's say you want to build a business and make some money and things like that, and you get into a project. You can do all the work, all the preparing, all the foundational work, get things going, and so on and so on. And things can start to go, and things like magic can open up, and wow, we're going. And then, you're like, wow, this is fantastic. And then it just starts to peter out. So many people, and this is a young adult pattern, that's specific to the 20-something you. And that is that you have a high hope, big dream, you move towards it, and all the doors open for it. Your imagination is flooded with excitement and enthusiasm. And then somehow or another, it just doesn't come into being. It gets delayed, or it comes and it just fizzles. Now, what's happened there is directly related to your self-image. And that's why we said self-image is the key to manifestation. It's the key to a great life. Okay, so if things are manifesting and they start to fizzle, it means that the manifestation had gotten beyond your little box. The manifestation was bigger than your box of self-image. And if you don't expand your self-image and keep doing it to keep up with it, then the image is going to have to, then the reality is just going to have to, have to collapse back into the box. How many times have you done a project or gotten onto some manifestation track to get something done and or move forward on something and brought a great relationship in only to find out that it's just kind of all of a sudden it looks totally different from any other relationship you've had, and then all of a sudden it's like it's the same thing over and over again that I had in the previous relationship that didn't work out, and the previous relationship is just kind of in new clothes. Well, it's the same pattern. Why? Because your self-image in regards to your relationship had not expanded, and you weren't able to keep it expanding it. So the point is that in the process of manifesting in your life, you need to keep expanding your self-image. You need to keep doing it deliberately, intentionally. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. So that your reality can keep expanding and keep expanding, and you can expand your box to contain more reality, more beautiful things. And then you keep expanding and expanding, and your reality will keep expanding, and then you'll be able to hold on to even more good stuff. So you don't want the reality to collapse back into the box, because then it registers for you as a huge snapback. And what do you do when you have a snapback? What mind talk do you do to yourself when you have a snapback? Does it bring up all the old pain and the sadness of your adolescence, young adulthood, even maybe even your childhood? Like, oh, you've never been able to do that. You're just inadequate. Nobody loves you. Nobody cares. You somehow or another have no connection with anybody, and people don't like you, and blah, 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 whatever it is. I can't ever trust men. I can't trust women. I can't trust the beliefs get trotted out. Oh, yet again, this confirms that I can't trust people. This confirms that I don't have what it takes. This validates my smaller self-image. Now, admittedly, if you have a health issue, you have chronic fatigue, and you try to stretch outside of that, you may not be able to get the healing going really easily and really fast. But it works there too. You can keep expanding your self-image and seeing yourself moving more and more and expanding more and more into a vibrant, healthy person. But you're not encouraged by your culture to do this. And you're not encouraged by your culture to do anything but either run away from the challenge or to analyze it and beat yourself up about it is what the culture has taught you. All right. So when you have a snapback, get into it. Really get into it. Expand your self-image. When things are going really well and expanding and everything is going really well, expand your self-image. Keep it going. Get a momentum going. Okay. When things start to fizzle and start to sour, start to twist, start to go off into other directions, expand your self-image. And why? Because when you expand your self-image, you can go up to another level of awareness and understanding and empowerment and capability of seeing what's happening. And being able to make good choices for yourself. Now, we did talk about this a bit in our seminar where we talk about the magic of true motivation. If you have a fake motivation, a false motivation, most likely you're trying to achieve using your ego facade. And when you use your ego facade, which is not the true you, which is not really you, it's going to get sabotaged. So when you expand your self-image, this conflict can become very, very aware, very, very much conscious. This awareness and awakening is like, oh, that failed. And I realize I didn't really want to do that anyway. Wow. So what do I really want to do? When you expand your self-image, it gives you certain clarity about the past, about the present, and most importantly, a clarity about the future, where you want to go, how you want to be, and then from there, what you want to do. Don't start with doing, start with being. You want to claim your divine nature first. That's the foundation. Now, one of the benefits of this, of course, is when you get to the next level and then you get to another level. And after a while, and this is part of what's been opening up on the planet in the whole lifting and of consciousness, is that you will have more presence. When you love and value yourself, you will have more presence. And your presence can calm, soothe, and heal other people just by being. Now, you've always had some people, when you think about it, when growing up in school, if you went to college, whatever, and in your work life and so on, there's always been an individual or so that always seemed to have a great sense of self, has a certain dignity of self. And we're not talking about a successful ego facade, but something that shined through. And these people are the ones you want to spend time with. You want to be with these people. When the channel was in her early 20s, and she was in her first marriage, she and her husband would go to a nearby college campus to a dormitory. And in that dormitory, they would visit a woman, a student. She was a grad student. And they just go and sit. They just sit at her feet. Why? She had this sense of dignity, this sense of presence. And she says, I don't know why you're here. And they said, well, there's something about you we just want to witness, we want to be with. We don't know what it is either. And she says, that's funny. Other people say that too. But here's a woman who holds a resonance from her 20s because she knows herself. And she's doing what is loving and valuable for her and what gives her joy. So she holds a light, and this inspires others. So think of that. Wouldn't you like to do that too? Wouldn't you like to inspire other people? Wouldn't you like to be free of the fear that your darkness be revealed, that your weaknesses be displayed? Wouldn't you like to be free of that? When in doubt, expand your self-image. It's the key. It's the core. It's the most pivotal piece on your journey home. It cannot be underestimated. Now, we admit that if you have a lot of emotional issues from your past and a lot of woundings and traumas, yes, you need to go heal those. You need to do work on those and pay attention to them. However, don't buy into them now as your image. That was your image then. Recognize that your past holds your past image. The image that you are right now of yourself can be expanded beautifully. And in fact, the more beautifully and more expansive that you make your self-image now, the more capable you are of healing with ease and elegance those traumas and pains and sufferings and limitations of your past. It makes it so much easier, because so many people go back to heal those things in their past, and they get caught up in the emotions of them being there. The channel, when she was in Florida, had a coaching practice, and one of her clients always felt that somehow or another in the family that she was always considered the black sheep, and she never got the love, whereas her sister got the love, and she didn't get it, and she was always expected to serve and be dutiful and so on. And so on. She tried to earn her love, and it didn't work. And her mother never seemed to love her as much as her sister. And then when it came time to, when her father died and there was some money distributed, and she got stiffed because her brother took it. And she was left without. She just went back into that whole childhood thing. And then she had two marriages, her second marriage. The same thing happened, is that she felt that she wasn't getting any love. And she was angry, and hurt, and so hurt. And so the channel was working with her and trying to heal that. But she would insist on being her child self. She would insist on it. Insist on being in the pain. And it took 2-3 years before the channel was able to get her out of identifying with her child self and getting her self-image at least up into her adolescent self. Don't take so much time, dear ones. You don't have to. Expand your self-image and then look back at that. And we go in detail on that quite a bit in healing your past self. But it's important for you to know that the self-image expansion will enable you to deal with that with a certain amount of aplomb. And that expanding your self-image will enable you in the current day to heal whatever's going on in your current mundane life and have a perspective on that. And as you expand your self-image, you look at the future, it becomes much brighter. And then you have the template that we talk about, the love, the freedom, the empowerment, and the safety trust that your reality has your back, that your unseen friends, that your spiritual team is supporting you 100%. Because the more you expand your self-image, the easier it is for them to rush in and help you in every way. So what we're going to do is we're going to share with you some techniques of self-image expansion. We're going to just briefly mention them now, but when we do the meditation, we'll take you through them. One of the ways is to remind yourself of who you are, looking in your mirror every day. I am a divine being. I love. I'm free. I'm empowered. I am capable. I love you. I forgive you. Okay, that's the mirror love. All right, we call that the mirror love. Another one is just to imagine yourself being 20 feet tall, maybe 30 feet tall. a being of incredible light, and your energy field is just spread it out. It spreads out all over the world, but your field of energy goes out like a quarter of a mile in every direction. You're huge, and you walk down the street, and you're this incredible, incredible giant of light and love, all right? And then you think, well, okay, here I am energetically, this 20-foot-tall being. How does this 20-foot-tall being watch TV, eat breakfast, make love, work, drive a car, all the mundane things? How does this great energy being do that? A third one is to connect with your team and let them love you. Let them infuse you. Let them download into you memories of who you are, connections, love and light for you. So make it easier for you to connect with the divine part of yourself, to allow yourself to receive rather than earn, to allow yourself to give and receive. Another one is that there's your box. Okay, your self-image is a box you live in. It has dimensions, width, depth, height. And you can go into this box asking for help from your spiritual team. And you can just push out the sides at the top, the front and the back. You can just push out and make this a much, much, much bigger, bigger box. The bigger the box you make, the more freedom you have. Okay, so just make it a huge, huge box. And this technique is really good in a pinch. It really helps. If you're like realizing, oh my gosh, things are falling apart, I better expand my self-image right now. You can kind of do that in a pinch. You can do that while you're driving your car. You can do that in a business meeting. You can, anytime, you can do that. And then there's another one that you can do every day, in a sense, to really build your energy field, because your energy field holds your resonance. Your self-image holds your resonance. If you build your energy field, it infuses your self-image with more light and energy. So you can enhance your chakras and do grounding above and below, and just fill up your aura and do actual energy work, okay? And that also helps heal your body of physical complaints and all that kind of thing too. And another, once you've done things like that, you're going to be in a state in which you can think beyond yourself. You can think and feel for the world. You can send your love to the world. And so what you do is that you send in love and healing from your heart chakra to places of pain in the world, to people that you see in your day-to-day life. You can send love energy. Now, that technique is so beautiful because every time you send out love to others, it is a giving that does not require that these others respond to you in any way. So you don't expect them to go and turn their faces to you and say, oh, thank you for that shot of love. Oh, I needed that today. And then you feel really good. No, that's ego facade. What you do is that you send that love out to people and just give it freely. Give it freely. And every time you send love freely into your world, the divine, your spiritual team, God, Goddess, all that is, will replenish you. And you'll receive it from above and even maybe from Mother Earth, from below as well. So the more you send out, the more you replenish. The more you send out, the more you replenish. And the replenishment often is more than what you send out. God got us all that is, isn't keeping score. So you get bigger and bigger. And not only that, you protect yourself from negative forces. That's another side benefit. Another benefit of expanding your self-image is that when you love, you are protected. And the divine sends you more love. It's a cycle. It builds, it builds. You get brighter and brighter, more luminous, and your presence can be healing, not just for your friends, not just for yourself, but also for your world. And that's part of why you're here, too. You're not here just for you. We've talked about that before, your personal mission and your global mission. And neither mission are ever going to be completed, okay? They're always ever expanding. Your personal mission is to expand until you know who you are, you really know who you are. Self-image expansion helps you get there. Your global mission is about infusing the world with your love and your vision of the future, of your desires, your hopes, your dreams. So that it can lift others as well. It lifts the world. Quite beautiful. You're never going to see the world fully respond in the physical plane saying, oh, yes, oh, all this love and this meditation, oh, yes, okay, we'll stop destroying nature. Industrialists. Okay, we'll stop polluting the air. We'll stop poisoning the earth. We'll stop stealing your water. We'll stop. No. But it will shift the vibration of everything just a little bit to the future. We've talked about that in other seminars as well. So a lot of future creation happens, and it starts with you expanding your self-image. All right, so what we're going to do is we're going to take a break. So give yourself a break, even if you're watching long distance, and give yourself at least a 10-minute break. And then when we come back, for those who are watching us live, we'll answer your questions on this topic. Okay, not other topics, but not personal issues that don't apply to this topic, but definitely on this topic. Okay? All right. And so we'll see you very shortly. So have a nice break. Farewell.